Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And with that in mind, we are pleased to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessee. And Gentry, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you guys.
Thanks for joining us. Gentry, what stood out to you so far through the first couple of days of Titans training camp? Maybe some players that have caught your eye thus far.
Yeah. I guess what has stood out to this point, you know, it's always difficult to judge when the team period's offense and defense, because anything that's good for one side is bad for the other. So if you go too far with, hey, the receivers look great, then you're starting to ask questions about the cornerbacks. And that's kind of what has happened probably more often than not so far. You know, Rayson McMath has gotten a lot of attention. I know A.J. Brown came in and compared him to Julio, and that got everyone's attention. And, you know, I think some of the other receivers, Chester Rogers has done pretty well so far. I've been impressed by Anthony Firkser with seeing what he has been able to do in some of these 7-on-7 type passing drills where he split out and operated in space. I told Ben Arthur, our beat writer, yesterday, I think Anthony Firkser is going to win people some fantasy football championships this year. I think he's going to go undrafted, and he's the kind of guy that could feast for some pretty big numbers in the middle of the field in that offense. You know, defensively, probably some concerns early, but it's just hard to judge this early in camp because you've got so many new guys in that secondary kind of getting used to each other. And also, I think they get a big piece back today with Caleb Farley. I think that was, you know, there were two guys that were you really want to see out there if you're the Titans, and him and Bud Dupree. And to get Farley back, I think it will be a big deal.
Yeah, no, I agree on Firkser, and yeah, of course, it's always, but it's it depends on who we're talking about too, right? Like when A.J. Brown was tearing everybody up last week, I heard from some fans, oh my gosh, what does that mean for the corners? And I'm like, well, he's supposed to do that to good NFL corners, you know? I mean, starters in this league are going to struggle with that guy, right? But of course, I think, Gentry, the defensive overall good feeling right now, maybe that's good for the Titans, but they also have to remember that no Derrick Henry, no Julio Jones, no Taylor Lewan right now. Maybe it's good for the defense to get a little confidence early. But what about Tannehill so far? I mean, it's early. I feel like he's taking some chances. Jenkins has jumped a few routes. You know, what do you think about him so far?
He looks sharp to me, and I from what I've seen so far, I think. Again, you go back to Firkser. There's a good connection there, and we've already seen it on the field the last couple of years, and I think we're going to see it a lot more this season. If there's anything that's really changed my mind here the first few practices, it has been on the tight end position. I went into this thinking, like a lot of people did, saying that was a box they hadn't checked this offseason. You know, gosh, can Anthony Firkser really be that guy and replace Jonnu Smith? And I'm actually starting to come around on that a little more from what I've seen. And I think a lot of that is also his relationship with the quarterback. I think Tannehill works well with him and A.J. Brown. And, you know, I think Logan Woodside's been sharp for the most part. You know, right now, I don't think that's much of a competition behind Tannehill, at least not from what I've seen. It's early. But, you know, Logan Woodside appears to be the guy. It's interesting, Joe, because we've heard for a couple of years now how confident the Titans are in Logan Woodside, but they keep running people at him. They keep trying to replace him, and they can't do it.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gentry, what do you think of, obviously, and you've come out with a story this morning at the Tennessean about it as well. We have not seen much of Derrick Henry so far in training camp. I don't think that's a huge surprise. And everybody talks about the workload he had last year, and just how difficult it's going to be to replicate what we just saw. And I don't want you to give away your entire article at the Tennessean, but just your expectations for Derrick Henry. Because to me, and Joe and I have talked about it here on the show, it seems like the more that people kind of doubt that guy and put him in a box, the more he continues to improve and continues to be a beast. I would hesitate, just personally speaking, before I doubt Derrick Henry anymore as they move forward.
Yeah, that was kind of where I went with the column this morning. And I think, you know, it's interesting. When I started to write this, I kind of expected to go along with a lot of what you're hearing from a national perspective, which is, look, the numbers, you see it with every running back who's kind of followed this trajectory, that there's going to have to be a pretty significant regression, right? I kind of went into this thinking that, but the more I really looked at it, Derrick Henry does not have the career workload that a lot of other running backs in the league have. People forget it wasn't that long ago that we were all saying, why don't they give him the ball more?
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at this and you say, yeah, you know, he had 378 carries last year, which is a top 20 all time. But if you look before that, he really didn't have that many early in his Titans career. And honestly, at Alabama, up until the year he won the Heisman Trophy, they were sharing the workload. So, I don't think you look at Henry at 27 and say, you know, all the tread's off the tires. I just don't. You look at a guy like Zeke Elliott, he's got 200-300 more carries career-wise than Derrick Henry, and he's played the same number of years. So, the more I looked at it, the more I thought, you know what? No, I don't think you can count out Henry. I mean, I think you're going to have an offense that still wants to feature him. It's got Julio Jones on it. It's going to have Taylor Lewan back. At this point, it's hard to see a reason to just assume he's not going to remain as productive as he's been.
How about a player, Gentry, who you feel stronger about making the roster now than you did when practice began last week?
It's a good one. Probably Brian Hill, running back. I think from having seen him, I think he could end up being more the number two guy in terms of getting carries behind Henry. I think, you know, Evans, I think, is what they want, is that third down, maybe pass-catching kind of guy. But I think Hill's the kind of guy who could help them and give them a little depth at that position. But we'll see. You know, there's some other guys competing there. But to me, he's kind of stood out a little bit, but, you know, it's early.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gentry, what do you make of the Kamar Rocker story that's come out over the weekend? He and the Mets not coming to an agreement. The Mets citing some medical concerns. Scott Boras, Rocker's agent, saying that the medicals are fine. And now, after being drafted 10th overall, Kumar Rocker will not be joining the Mets, is not going to be signing with the Mets, and basically is stuck kind of in no man's land at this point, waiting on the draft to come back next year. What do you make of all this? How surprised are you that it's gone down the way that it has? And what do you think this means for the future of Kumar Rocker's career?
Yeah, you know, there, guys, we all hear things, and there are very few stories that come up in sports that we're truly stunned by. I was stunned by this here in the last couple of days. I didn't think there would have been any chance the Mets take him at 10, knowing what the cost was going to be, and then not sign him. You know, and you could say, you know, there's talk about his elbow and things they found, but, you know, Kamar pitched every time he was supposed to for Vanderbilt. You know, I mean, when you watched him, I know he wasn't quite as effective this last season, but he was still pretty dang good. And I don't think, you know, when you watched him pitch at Vanderbilt, you really got a sense for that. So I would tend to lean more with Kumar's camp on that, and say he's healthy. But there's clearly more to it from that perspective. The Mets, I don't think, drafted him thinking they weren't going to sign him, so something happened to change this. And whatever that something was, it could impact Kumar's career moving forward. I hope it doesn't, but now you wonder, I mean, what's he going to do? The reports are he's not going to come back to Vanderbilt. So do you go to some independent league? I mean, you're going to have to pitch somewhere and kind of show that you're healthy. And I don't think there's any question next year when you go into the draft that teams are going to be asking a lot more questions about that than they were this time.
Yeah, it really is just, to me, bizarre that he has to just go through a year now rather than sign with someone else. But that's what the Players Association agreed to. Gentry, as a veteran writing about SEC football, I've got to get your analysis of Texas, Oklahoma, and all that we've seen in the past couple weeks. good for the SEC and college football, bad. What's your takeaway, main takeaway from this?
Good for the SEC, maybe probably bad for college football and college sports, but good for the SEC. I mean, you know, this was a scenario where I think we knew all along that the Big 12 was probably on borrowed time, that of all of the Power 5 leagues, they were by far the most vulnerable and the one that was probably not gonna last long term. So if you know that, then the two most valuable commodities that would come from that breakup were Oklahoma and Texas, and the SEC jumped up and got them. So I think from their perspective, it's probably a pretty smart thing to do. I think it's going to pave the way for a lot of changes, certainly in the makeup of college sports and how things are structured from this point. But to be honest, guys, I think we were probably headed there anyway. I think a lot of the name, image, and likeness and you know, some of the other changes, the major changes that are kind of confronting college sports all at once here, are now going to be mixed in with this. And I've always been kind of a believer that I don't know what exactly is going to come of this, but I think it's going to be a lot different from the NCAA structure that we have right now. That's probably a good thing, unless you have college football dominating it and kind of doing its own thing, which I think is entirely possible now if you get in a scenario where you got four conferences with 16 teams, a 64 kind of setup. I mean, you look at the European Soccer Super League idea. I mean, it wouldn't shock me to see college football kind of go in that direction, because that's where clearly the money is.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Gentry, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us, and have fun. A little bit of a cooler day out there today at Titans training camp.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Gentry Estes, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come right back, react to a little bit of what Gentry had to say there, and get your thoughts as well on the Kamar Rocker situation with the Mets. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll be right back, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nashville SC fans, join ESPN 94.9 Monday, August 9th from 7 to 8 p.m. for NSC Backstage, featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. You can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you missed it over the weekend, a really bizarre story between the New York Mets and Kamar Rocker, of course, wonderful Vanderbilt pitcher, one of the best players we've ever seen come out of Vanderbilt in general, taken 10th overall in the Major League Baseball draft, and he and the Mets do not come to an agreement, which means they missed the deadline. He will not be a member of the New York Mets. The Mets citing some medical reasons that they're concerned on Kamar Rocker, and they were not able to come to an agreement. So now Rocker is just kind of out there in the open, and we'll wait and see what happens on him, where he plays baseball next season, and he'll be re-entering the draft at that point and seeing where he'll be selected. At that point, Jim tweeting in on Twitter saying, why wouldn't Rocker just come back to Vandy and cash in on the NIL? And that is kind of an interesting development here, with NIL now being an option for Kamar Rocker. Would that be something you consider? There have been reports, and Jeff Passan's put it out there, that he's not going back to Vandy, and he could be playing some independent ball coming up next year. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that report's wrong, but if I'm Rocker, I'm at least giving some consideration to coming back to Vandy. And I don't know how much money he would make with NIL, but I imagine he could do fairly well around here with NIL.
I feel like if he came back, there would be a lot of buzz around him, surprisingly, being back. Look, Vanderbilt baseball 2022, without knowing the lineup intimately, I'm going to guess he's going to be a nationally powerful team and contender. Throw him on that team, they're better. And again, if he's healthy enough to pitch, and so I don't know. The NIL thing is really interesting. Ken Seals, VandySports.com, announced an NIL deal with him to do a podcast with them. So there's a Vanderbilt football player,
yep,
who is cashing in. I agree. I would think that Kamar Rocker could make some cash doing that in various ways. You know, a Kamar Rocker baseball camp around here or something.
You get some people with that.
Yeah, and you can do all that stuff now as a college athlete. And if you're at Vanderbilt, you're just going to have a lot more visibility than, you know, playing some independent ball. But, yeah, the early indications are no. I also – my indications would be give a little bit of time. And, you know, there's no absolutes, I think, on the Vanderbilt side of that. So, I'm sure Vanderbilt would love to have him.
Sure, I'm sure they would.
I think he should consider it. You know, I've had a long – my text battle today with Jared has been about Rocker because he looks at this and thinks that it's really a bad sign in terms of his long-term, you know, prospects given all the information we have. He's mentioning guys like Brady Aiken and Carter Stewart, you know. So, look, it could be. I'm not saying he's wrong. I mean, maybe there is like this elbow, shoulder, whatever exactly is the issue here, some indication that, you know, long-term it's going to be a problem. But like you said earlier, I guess, you know, can you not deal with that? If you really have an issue, can you not deal with that surgically and get through that? Because I feel like guys often and more often do.
Well, and also, and I guess there's probably been a situation that's come up where maybe you draft a guy and they just, for whatever reason, don't want to sign with your team. And maybe that's why this measure is in place. But, like, why are the Mets getting rewarded with the 11th overall pick next year for not being able to come to agreement right with a guy they picked?
For screwing up their draft. Yeah. Now they get to come back in and get another first-round pick. Yeah. Right? And then the player gets to, you know, sit around and not be able to sign with someone. If you forfeited your rights to that commodity, why can't the player sign with another professional team? I mean, look, hey, blame the MLB Players Association, though.
Yeah.
Because, again, all these things are collectively bargained. It's dumb.
So, yeah, it's unfair. Well, and, you know, it doesn't make much sense to me. Because, look, I'm not a doctor, but arm injuries with pitchers, pretty common in today's Major League Baseball. We've seen Tommy John run rampant, and that's basically the worst-case scenario, is Tommy John – and you've got to be out for basically over a year at that point. But then you can come back from it. Now, not everybody comes back and is the same. I get that. It's worked out pretty well for guys like Walker Buehler. He looks pretty good right now. So, I mean, this idea that you're concerned, and apparently not even concerned in the short term. Like, they thought he could pitch tomorrow. But you're concerned in the long term that he could have problems. Okay, I understand that to some degree, but there are now remedies to fix these things. Like, it's not like it's just an automatic death sentence to your career anymore like it used to be.
Right. Like, the example Stillman is throwing out there, you know, there are guys who maybe the feeling is they're just going to be diminished. They're not going to be at the level that they had pitched at before. And I will say that Rocker this year, I mean, like, his velocity consistently was down from 2 years earlier. I mean, he was consistently a 95, 96 guy with the fastball as a freshman and could touch, you know, 97, 98. And then this year he was kind of consistently a 92, 93 guy. Is that an indication of this concern? I have no idea. I'm just saying that, I mean, he was a little bit less effective and that was part of it. So I just know that watch that guy compete in college, and his ability and his demeanor and his body and all that stuff, boy, I'd take a flyer on that guy. I'd pay him to pitch for my Major League Baseball team, pay him to come into my organization and work his way up. And I mean, I hope it works out for him, and I hope he ends up in the National League. I really do.
Yeah, I'd like to see him pitch against the Mets a few times. That'd be something. Well, and like, to your point, some people just have that it factor, right? Like, they're just built a certain way. Like, we're watching in the studio right now, the Chiefs are on the screen. And Andy Reid the other day was just raving about Trey Smith. Just raving about Trey Smith.
Yep.
And saying that Trey Smith might end up on the starting line.
Oh, he's going to start.
He's going to start for the Chiefs this year. Which, if you've watched him play, I don't think he's that big of a surprise if you're a Tennessee fan. But he's just kind of another example of a guy that has it. Like, I think of Kumar Rocker the same way, maybe even to a higher degree, just based on the winning and the big moments than he's been able to come up with. So sometimes I think teams way overthink this.
Well, Trey Smith, that's a really good comparison. And Trey Smith is a guy who it wasn't perfect at times in pass protection. You know, he had some issues here and there. He's not a finished product. But is that guy going to do everything possible to be a finished product? And is he going to be a credit to your team? Is he going to just maul people on the field? Yes. It's a great pick, but it's brilliant. And here we go. No, I noticed the same thing. I didn't even see the Reed comments, but even like the first couple days of camp, people covering the Chiefs. Wow, this Trey Smith, tell you what.
Pretty good.
Crazy. Who would have guessed? No, and I think Rocker is – I think he's special. I do. And the arm stuff, I agree with you. It seems like for the most part, you can figure this out. There are issues with guys, you know, degenerative issues and things that I can't possibly understand as a non-medical professional. But I don't know. I'd like to – I'm surprised there isn't more information because the lack of information to me – tells me it's kind of BS.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's, you know, if you've got this long-term concern, so let's, why is there not more than coming up? Because if I'm a Mets fan right now, I'm like, you better explain yourself.
Yeah, I'm furious.
Right. So.
And I get we'll see. It's not like the NFL where it's directly impacting your team this year. And a lot of response I saw from Mets fans on Twitter were, well, this will hurt us 4 or 5 years down the road. I mean, maybe. I think he could have made it much quicker than that, just based on his trajectory, his track record.
I mean, if you take away any injury concern, I would have had him, I think, a real good chance of being in the majors in 24.
Yep. This coming, some breaking news from Tim McManus, who covers the Eagles for ESPN. Devontae Smith listed as week-to-week with a knee sprain. So the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, week to week now, with a knee sprain.
Week to week's not good.
There was a fear that it could perhaps be something more, so I guess it's good that it's not something more. But week to week.
Yeah.
Ian Rappaport saying, should be out just a couple of weeks, no cause for concern.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that is good then. Could be worse. Could be worse, like, you know, Briley Moore, you kind of knew right away Saturday that it was serious.
Yep.
So, and it was.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans, including some breaking news regarding their first-round pick. We'll get to all that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. Be listening for your cue to call to win a pair of three-day passes to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix coming up this weekend. We'll have that cue to call coming up for you later this hour. Don't miss the Music City Grand Preview Show with Chase McCabe tomorrow at 6 p.m., brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating and Cooling, and Newton Motor Group. Also this Saturday at 9 a.m., tune in for a special Grand Prix edition of Chasing Checkers with Chase McCabe, brought to you by Firestone, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Mercedes-Benz of Music City, and European Collision and Repair. Tune in for Darren Donick and Chase from 10 to 2 today for another chance to win a pair of three-day passes to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, Caleb Farley has been activated from the non-football injury list, is now eligible to be at practice. I would assume he'll be out there today, at least in individual stuff. We'll know about team, but we'll see what happens on that front. But good news to get Caleb Farley back in the fold this early into training camp, because I know a lot of Titans fans were concerned maybe they wouldn't even see him in training camp. So that's good news that he's back and ready to go this quickly.
Yeah, it's significant because you just had no idea. And like I said last week, indications were positive, you know, in terms of fields that can't be reported on in Caleb Farley, but he's now going to be on fields that can be reported on. I was so excited to get over there, I closed my computer and went off the Zoom camera. I forgot about that. We're on Zoom today.
But you're back on there now, man.
Michelle's like, get that computer back out. So anyway, yeah, about to bust over there. You know, they're starting up right now as we speak. And, yeah, I'd be surprised if Caleb Farley was in team stuff, 7-on-7, 11-on-11, stuff like that today. But even if he does some one-on-ones, get to see him, you know, going up against like an A.J. Brown, for example. Be interesting. Tomorrow's first day of pads. Maybe he'll blow up Julio. Maybe he'll blow up Derrick Henry in the hole tomorrow. First day of pads. Farley Henry.
Yes.
Just like one-on-one tackling drills all day.
Just
until one of them until one of them taps out.
That's right.
No, that won't happen. But that's big. It's big for the Titans to have him. You would think then that he'd be able to play like in a preseason game in Atlanta. I mean, it's interesting with Vrabel, like a lot of coaches, I think more and more in this league, it's like, why am I going to get someone hurt in one of these games when they're so critical to our team?
Yeah.
But then you look at a guy like Caleb Farley, man, I think he needs reps in full pads against an opponent.
He's not played football in 2 years.
Right. It's obviously the risk-reward. But, I mean, if you take a guy in the first round, how do you really expect him to help your team this year if you don't risk that a bit?
Yeah.
So I would kind of expect a guy like that would get some serious reps. Maybe not serious, but some real reps in these preseason games.
Caleb Farley wearing number 3, by the way.
Number 3.
Out there on the field right now, number 3. Same as in college. That's the new rule this year. You can wear whatever number you want to wear out there.
Hokies number.
That's right.
Caleb Farley.
So
it's a good number.
We'll keep an eye on Farley today at training camp as well. Joe, another week of training camp now upon us. What has stood out to you so far with the Titans at training camp through the first few days?
Well, two players who have stood out offensively are A.J. Brown. Now, he's really stood out. But Anthony Firkser, definitely. Of the hype that you're hearing, again, I've got a buy-sell piece coming out tomorrow. Buy this hype, sell this hype. I'd buy on those guys. There's some other players. This happens every year. You got to remember who's out there, who's playing against who, and you know what a role is, you know, for a player. So, like, Racy McMath has been really fun to watch. And A.J. Brown drops the Julio reference in reference to Racy McMath. But, you know, pump the brakes a little bit. I think if he makes the team, that's a good outcome. He's going to help in the kicking game, and someday he could be. I mean, he is very impressive. There's no doubt about it, but it's very early. The overall defense, I'd really pump the brakes there, you know, with no Julio Jones, no Derrick Henry, no Taylor Lewan, but they're doing some good things. I mean, it's been a good start for them. I like some of the depth. I think that's the key right now is there are some players who need to provide depth on this team who certainly could find their way into the field who I think are – taking advantage of the opportunity. I think of the two second-year pros, defensive linemen, who are going to be rotating in, I think. Tier Tart and Larrell Murchison. They both look good. They both look quick, in shape. They were two of the four offseason award winners. Breon Borders has been very good at corner. Chris Jackson has played well at corner. So I like their depth guys. And like inside linebacker, it's nice. Depth. A guy who I've noticed a lot and honestly didn't think about much on the camp, David Long. David Long is looking good to me in pass coverage. He's worked really hard on that. He talked about that the other day. That's a guy who, I mean, you're in a fight right now. You know Jayon Brown came back. You know Monty Rice just got drafted. Now, you also know Rashawn Evans. And, I mean, Evans and Brown both could be gone next year.
Yep.
Next year, the starting inside linebackers conceivably could be Long and Rice.
Yep.
So, still a very important guy. You always got to be ready. You got to be ready like Amani Hooker has been ready. And there's another guy who stands out to me. Guy who here in year three gets his opportunity, has been biding his time, getting on the field some, but now he's next to Kevin Byard, snap after snap, and he looks up to it to me.
You mentioned the talking season that's going on right now. It doesn't help talking season when A.J. Brown compares Racy McMath to Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Which he did the other day. Said the upside has got a little Julio in him.
Got Julio. Racy McMath is Julio, and Anthony Firkser is a combination of Delanie Walker and Jonnu Smith. So
a little hybrid version.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Well, let me tell you this. If that's the case, this Titans offense is going to be more fun to watch than I thought.
Yeah, no doubt.
Sorry, Josh Reynolds. Racy McMath time.
Yeah. Well, that's
by
another.
The way, yeah.
I'm glad you brought him up. I think today he left Thursday. So Friday, Saturday, be interesting to see if he's out there right now. As I
according to John Glennon, he is not. According to John Glennon,
there you go. So Reynolds clearly, that wasn't just a little ankle turn or something. Not on IR or anything, but that does mean more opportunity. Everybody kind of bumps up. Julio Jones is not out there. He's not out there. So you are seeing guys like Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Racy McMath, Cam Batson. And as stated earlier on the show, certainly, Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers look good out there. I just still have my doubts about them ultimately making this roster, but there's a lot of good competition, depth, playmaking out there at receiver right now.
And then we'll see what happens today with the kickers as well. Blake Hawbill is gone, placed on waivers yesterday. Sam Ficken in from the New York Jets. So now it's Ficken and Tucker McCann battling it out for the kicking position. From all accounts, kicking did not go well the last couple of days at camp.
That was terrible. Saturday, like you knew, it was just like, I mean, McCann's 3 for 5, and then Hawbill's 4 for 5, but I think one of them looked really good. So McCann hangs in there. Now Ficken comes in.
Just keeps hanging around that Tucker
McCann.
He keeps
hanging around. I mean, he's got talent, but he has not found consistency yet, at least in the things that we are able to see. So here we go. McCann Ficken today. See how they do.
John Glennon also reporting no Jeff Swaim for the at practice today for the Titans.
And he missed Saturday too.
That's second one in a row for Jeff Swaim.
Yeah, so a little bit banged up at tight end right now.
Absolutely. Joe Rexroad, you were off and running to Titans training camp.
I'm on Farley watch.
You're on Farley watch, so we will catch up with you tomorrow.
And I'll be in Knoxville tomorrow for some UT football media day.
Getting hyped up for Josh Heupel tomorrow.
I will not turn off the Zoom tomorrow, Michelle, I promise.
Hype for Heupel.
That's right.
Hype for Heupel. Thanks, Joe.
That is right. Joe Rexroad heading off to Titans camp. We'll see him in the morning. When we'll come back, we'll be joined by Chase McCabe. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him as well. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 1025.
Back in
the final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rexroad, ESPN 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Chase McCabe, the great and beautiful Chase McCabe, in with us here today for the final segment. Joe Rexroad is off to Titans training camp. Michelle Knezevic here with us as well. Chase, what's going on? How we doing?
Oh, Rob, doing well. Saw a little baseball this weekend. Had a tremendous time at the Garth Brooks concert Saturday night.
Me too.
All three songs of the Grand Ole Opry that I got to see. But, you know, it's okay. It happens.
I was telling you, and I talked about this to begin the show, too. Like, obviously, there's the Grand Prix coming up. So the roads are a little different right now. In Nashville, it just is what it is. On Saturday night, there's a lot of people. You know, I don't know that I've ever experienced traffic the way that I did Saturday night for that Garth Brooks concert. It was unbelievable.
It was, well, and where I parked, we parked across the river, you know, on the downtown side, so I had a good walk. So it wasn't awful from that point, but I know it got worse. And then the adventure was driving home because I think I passed the Ark 3 times.
Yes. Just waving on its way by.
Yeah, yeah.
Say, just, hey, what's going on over there?
Hey, it's a giraffe.
Oh, my goodness. Like,
cool. So it was something. But, listen, it's a tough decision to make if you're Nissan Stadium and Garth's people, but they made the right one because they weren't going to get that in.
That was quite the electrical storm out there.
Oh, yeah. I was in the concourse when, you know, the first one hit, and watching some of that lightning, I was like, holy moly. And the people that were still sitting out in the – in the storm, I'm like, okay.
Got a little bit more confidence than I do, buddy.
Good luck to you.
Some of that liquid courage flowing strong out there.
Something. But anyway, hopefully they'll get it rescheduled soon and we'll all be able to go.
Hopefully so. We'll see what happens on that front. Keep you updated when we hear about what's going to happen with Garth Brooks and the date for that concert. Quite the experience on Saturday night. May or may not have gotten into a few verbal altercations out there.
It was an easy spot to do that.
We've got Road Rage Robbie.
Yeah.
It's his new nickname.
It's one of my character flaws. Sometimes it happens.
I have met Road Rage Robbie a couple times. Usually it's not, you know, when he's driving, but I have seen that rage before.
I mean, I've not been arrested, so that's good.
No.
Nothing illegal is taking place. sometimes you got to make your opinions known.
Yeah.
And they were made known on Saturday night on Shelby Avenue. I can promise you many times.
It happens, man. I have to do it too. It's okay. Right.
Chase, another week of Titans training camp coming up. Caleb Farley back on the field today as well. I think it's a big deal. I mean, you know, Caleb Farley, we've talked so much about the injury issues that he's dealt with. I've got my Ski Atika shirt on today from when Joe Rexroth screwed that up and wasn't able to pronounce the word sciatica for your viewing pleasure on the streaming. But, you know, there are a lot of Titans fans that thought, you know, maybe Caleb Farley's not going to be out there for training camp and it's going to be a slow build for your first-round pick to actually help you on the field. I think a very good sign that he's out there today. And this tells me that maybe he can be a factor as they get closer to the regular season. Maybe not in the starting lineup. We'll wait and see what happens on that front. But I think it's a pretty big deal, him getting back on the field today.
Yeah, I think it's huge because now he's going to get – I mean, he's really only missed a week of camp,
yep,
if you think about it. So he's been in the buildings, been in all the meetings. That's all very important. But being on the practice field and being able to, you know, learn the cadences and the calls and get the coaching that you need as a young player, play alongside the veterans that can kind of help you along – I think this is big for him, and now, you know, it was we were asking the question, okay, is he going to be ready for week one and be able to play against Arizona? Well, now I think we're asking the question, oh, is he going to be able to play some preseason games?
Because yep.
This could be big, and I would say the answer is most likely yes. Do they, you know, I don't know if they throw him out in the first one, but potentially in the last two,
yep,
you could see Caleb Farley out there. So this is big, and also having Sombrero and McNichols. McNichols has been one of those camp battles every year, so it's important for them. But for their first round pick, I would say in one day he's already had more production than last year's first round pick. So
I would say you're probably right.
Had to get that one in there. But that it's big for them, and hopefully they can get that process started with Caleb Farley and he can make an impact.
What do you think of the kicking carousel that continues to take place? This has been, from my vantage point, really fascinating to watch over the last couple of years. We know about 2019. I mean, they couldn't find one. You know, Suckup was hurt. I mean, they rotated through like five guys that year. And luckily for them, I mean, they got to a point coming down the stretch that year where they didn't really need a field goal kicker. They just kept scoring touchdowns all the time. Last year, Gostkowski really struggled the first half of the season. He got better as the season went along. And now here we are in training camp again. Blake Hallbill sent on waivers. Ficken coming in from the Jets. Now it's a battle between Sam Ficken and Tucker McCann. Why do you think this has been such a problem for the Titans to be able to identify, and not only identify, but really hold down a kicker the last 3 years?
I just wonder if they view kicking as a priority like they should. And, yeah, and I mean, it is. It totally is. How many times do you see games get won or lost on a field goal? Or an extra point, for that matter. So it is something that I think they need to give a little more attention to. Now, I said it last week. I was pretty definitive, and I said neither one of those guys would be the starting kicker week one. And I even felt like that it would probably be Gostkowski, that they would go ahead and call Gostkowski. He's been working out, still lives in the area. It'd be an easy call. But, you know, the more I think about it, if you're Steven Gostkowski – you know, do you, at this point, like, you've been sitting around, you know, all summer, you know, are you, do you want that call at this point? Or are you just, kind of like, you know what, my stats kind of took a little bit of a hit last year, got better as the year went on, but borderline, and I say borderline Hall of Famer just because of the position, but you know, he's got Hall of Fame numbers already, but, you know, do you really want to go through all that again, even though you've been working out and you're in shape? So I do wonder if they call or have called, if he's like, nah, I'm good. I'm just going to stay retired.
There's got to be some hesitation from somebody's vantage point on this, right? Because, I mean, it's either, you know, the Titans are kind of saying, yeah, you know, we'd really like to find somebody else to win this job. Or he's saying, yeah, I'm not really sure if I'm ready to come back and play football yet. Because if it's not one of those two things, why in the world is he not in camp yet?
I think I see it from the Titans side in that it's not that they don't want to call Steven Gostkowski. It's that they don't want to do this again next year.
Correct.
They want to find – like if Tucker McCann can take the job, they want him to take the job and be the kicker for the next 5 years.
You just don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Right. Because you think about this organization, they've been pretty fortunate. They had Al Del Greco for a long time, even going back to Houston. Joe Nedney is probably the outside of what we've had the last few years, the shortest tenured kicker that they've had.
Just because he kept trying to make tackles.
Yeah, and he kept getting hurt. Yep. So you had Gary Anderson for a couple of years, and then Rob Baronis, the greatest kicker they've had.
Yep.
You know, you had him for a long time, then you had Ryan Succop for a long time. So, I mean, they've been very fortunate in that sense, but they also looked at it as a priority. And so that's why they were able to have those kickers for as long as they did.
You can't play Jeff Fisher ball without a good kicker.
No, you cannot. And he had several. But I don't know. I think right now you give Tucker McCann the edge because he's the one that's still here. I don't know anything about Sam Ficken, and I've made the joke he's Ficken to do some kicking.
But, here we go. That's right.
You'll hear that a few times, I'm sure, but it's just right
up,
now.
You might hear another joke.
Yeah, well, we can't say that.
No, we cannot.
I don't know. It's fascinating that this is the battle right now, and, you know, it's not going well.
Not going well, and, you know, we talked about it a little bit earlier. I would still think at some point, Goskowski's probably the most likely. And Christopher on Periscope tweeting in, then why not just draft a kicker? And, you know, I think it's rare at this point to see day. Yeah, I mean, kickers just don't really get drafted all that much anymore. I mean, they got Hallbill and signed him as an undrafted free agent. I mean, I think that's a route you can go. Now, I will say, like, if this continues to be a problem and this is something that they just can't figure out, like, does it shift to becoming maybe something in the draft that you address in the sixth or seventh round? Like, I'm not suggesting go like Tampa Bay Bucks, yeah, Roberto Aguayo, and go second round on us, because I don't think that there's really ever a situation for that to make sense. But which it does kind of feel like at times, and Corey Curtis brought this up earlier on the show as well, that maybe it's not as much of a priority as it should be, and that's fine as long as you continue to win games. But the moment that you start to get screwed over by the kickers and they're not making clutch kicks for you, that becomes a pretty big problem.
Well, and as good as this offense is supposed to be on paper, and you hope the defense is improved. I mean, if this is a mediocre, you know, middle of the road defense and the offense is just lights out, then this is going to be a pretty good football team, and I think everybody knows that. But if you get down to it at the end of the year when you're looking at standings and it's about winning a division, and there's one or two losses on there that are because of missed kicks, that's a huge problem. And so that's what they're trying to avoid, because they've gone through this. I mean, in the Vrabel tenure, it's just kicking has been a thing. And that is the last thing that should be a thing. And so they just need to get this figured out.
All right, I got to get your thoughts on this. We were talking about Carson Wentz earlier in the show. Obviously, he was injured on Friday. He's trying to hold off from surgery. But it sounds like it could be something that he's got to battle through. And worst-case scenario, at least Stephen Holder joined us earlier in the show, said he could miss a few weeks, and we'll see what happens on that front with Carson Wentz. If Chris Ballard and the Colts trade for a backup quarterback, if you're him, who do you go after? Is it Marcus Mariota? Is it Gardner Minshew? Which one are you taking?
All right. I know what I'm about to start with, what I'm about to say.
Oh, boy.
This is nothing against Marcus Mariota, the
person. Oh, yes. Come on.
Nothing against him, the person.
I hope Joe's not listening. He'll be offended.
I hope he is.
But why would you trade for something you already have? I'm not making a joke, but that's what you're doing. They're both injury prone. Why would you go get a guy that gets hurt? I wouldn't do that. So it'd be Minshew for me.
You just have the Minshew mania.
And I know my mentions are about to blow up. Like, how could you say that? You know, I get it. You learn stuff. I remember sitting in here with Teron Davenport one time, and he goes, you learned stuff about yourself that you didn't know when you mentioned Marcus Mariota.
That is true.
But, I mean, that's the truth. I mean, he is – that's just what he is. I think he's a solid backup, but if they're bringing him in to be the starter and replace of Wentz, you would have to have a huge concern that he's going to get hurt too.
Just want to point out, the vote is now 3-1. It is myself and yourself and Stephen Holder say Minshew, Joe Rextro. Yeah. Remaining the lone voter of Marcus Mariota, which, again, I always have to clarify, love me some Marcus Mariota, great person. Not a very good quarterback, great person.
If you get really good Marcus, if you can guarantee that you can get that.
That's a big if.
Then do it.
Yeah.
But it's a big if.
Chase McCabe, Wonderful job here on the show today. What do you got coming up on Darren Donick and Chase?
Oh, we got a big one planned. We'll get into training camp. Teron Davenport going to join us a little later. Usually it's at 11, so he'll be on at 1 today. We'll check in with Vince Ferrara, talk some Vols at noon. And Willie is chomping at the bit to talk about his Mets and
I'm sure he
Kamar
is.
Rocker. So we're going to get into that as well.
That's coming up next on Darren Donick and Chase. That does it for us today on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.